3. And we will pick up where we left off last week. I think that's where we left off anyway, is in verse number 8. For those of you that were not here, this thing's, I don't know what's up with this thing this morning. It's either it or me. One of us is cockeyed. It's probably me. But anyway, it's certainly a blessing, like I said, to be here this morning. And we'll pick up in verse number 8. But we'll start reading in verse 7. And we'll, for those of you that weren't here last week, I'll just give a brief recap of what we did last week. In verse number 7, it says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which they say are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." And I'll stop right there because I really don't think we'll get that far. Last week we said that in verse 7 that Jesus Christ presents himself to the church at Philadelphia as he that is holy. And that was the equivalent to declaring that he is God. And of course he is God. That ain't me. Jesus is holy in his character, his word, his actions, and his purpose. And in being the Holy One, he is uniquely set apart from everything and everyone else. He is true. And that is to say that he is genuine. He is an original. Amen. He's not an imitation, not a copy, not manufactured. He's not some false idol. He is God, the sovereign God. Amen. And back in those days, there were hundreds of false gods. But Jesus Christ could rightfully claim to be the true God. Amen. And when martyrs in heaven addressed the Lord, they called him holy and true. He also has the authority to open and close doors. Remember last week I told you to keep one thing in mind through this whole study on the Church of Philadelphia. Keep in mind that open door. Open door. What is the open door? We're going to find out. And Jesus also has the keys of hell and death. Now in verse number 8, we once again see that the Lord knows our deeds. He knows our works. He has set before us an open door, and no man can shut it. Now what do you think this open door might be? Well, in the New Testament, an open door speaks of the opportunity for ministry. You get that? The open door is an opportunity for ministry. Now, before I get into that, let me just read this. Turn with me to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. It'll be back to your left in your Bible. Acts chapter 14. And look at verse 27. Acts chapter 14, verse 27. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. That'll be back to your right. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. It's the last chapter of 1 Corinthians. And look at verse number 9. 1 Corinthians 16, 9. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now, when I read that,
wow.
I thought, effectual, what does that word effectual mean? And I looked in exhaustive Strong's Concordance to the Bible, and I looked up that word in this particular verse. And that word effectual means powerful. Powerful. So we see here that God, when he opens that door, it's a powerful open door.
Amen.
A powerful open
Amen.
Door.
Amen.
Now looking, just turn over a page or two to your right to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And look at verse 12. He says, furthermore, when I come to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. A door was opened unto me of the Lord. Now, that open door speaks of an opportunity of the ministry. This is my opportunity for the ministry.
Amen. Amen.
And I want to ask you a question. What kind of open door has the Lord opened to you for the ministry? There's different things we all could be doing. Are you going to walk through that open door? Are you going to walk through that open door? Or are you going to just sit back and say, I ain't going to do it. I'm not doing it. And what are you doing when you do that? You're quenching the spirit. You're pushing the spirit to the side. You're denying the opportunity to enter into the ministry. And your opportunity to enter into the ministry is given by the Holy Spirit. And if you're going to push the Holy Spirit to the side, you know what you're going to do? You're going to miss out on a blessing.
Amen.
Now that ministry could be any number of things.
Yes.
Any number of things. It could be something as simply as helping somebody out.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
It could be cutting somebody's grass, trimming their hedges, washing their car. It could be anything. It doesn't necessarily have to be something within the church. It could be anything. It could be baking somebody a cake. I love that. Thank you, honey. I appreciate that. But it's just like I said, it could be anything. God gives you an opportunity to do something. Why not do it?
Man.
Why not do it?
Man.
Why deny yourself the blessing? Because you don't want to do it. You don't want to listen to what God told you to do. And I'll be the first to say, I'll be the first to admit, I'm going to make a confession right here before you. Did I really want to do this? Nah, I didn't. I didn't. I'm going to be honest about it. I didn't really want to do it. And I didn't do it because he asked me to do it, because the preacher asked me to do it. That's not the reason I did it. I told him. I didn't tell him right off when he asked me about doing it. I didn't tell him right off I'd do it. I said, I'll pray about it. I'll pray about it. Well, I did. And here I am. And like I said, I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. But when I prayed about it, and the good Lord told me in my heart, you need to do this. You need to do this. And I went to the pastor and I told him, I said, I'll do it. I said, I'll do it. I said, but what I would like to do, if I'm going to do this, is I would like to teach on the book of Revelation. I said, because I love that book. I love the book of Revelation. And it scares a lot of people. I don't know why. It's God's word.
Amen.
But it does. It really does. It scares a lot of people. A lot of people don't even like to read it. A lot of people don't understand it. And it scares a lot of people because of the tribulation. Well, I got a little, let me give you this little tidbit, look into the future here on this teaching on the book of Revelation. If you're a child of God, if you're an overcomer, if you're a believer, you don't have to worry about the tribulation.
Amen.
You're not going to be here. You ain't going to be here.
Amen.
And I ain't going to be teaching, whether we get through it or not.
Amen.
There'll be somebody else up here teaching. Miles. And see, and I can say that because that's my brother from another mother. So I can do that. I can do that to him. Because I know he'll do it to me too. But I'm serious. You have nothing to fear if you're a child of God. If you belong to him, you have nothing to fear. Plain and simple. You have nothing to fear. I love this book. I love this book because it tells of my future, our future,
yes,
with the Lord.
Amen.
I look forward to that.
Amen.
I'm ready to go now.
That's right.
I'm ready to go now.
Yeah.
If I could get a bus load up right now, I bet I'd have that bus packed. Because this is a sick and dying world we live in.
Right.
Sick and dying world. Christ himself, Jesus Christ himself, is the Lord of the harvest. He is the Lord of the harvest. He is the head,
amen,
of the church.
Amen.
Not this man here.
Right.
He's just a spokesperson. He's just a spokesperson. He brings us God's word. And I've said it before and I'll say it again and I believe it with all my heart. This man right here, he doesn't just get up here and he doesn't just thumb through the Bible and say, I'm going to preach on this. Guarantee you he don't. Guarantee you he don't. He prays about it. And he does what the Lord tells him to do when it comes to this book and his word. Guarantee you he does. I And my wife, I tell you, I don't take this lightly. To me, this is very, very serious. I don't ever, ever want to stand before you and tell you anything that is contrary to God's Word. I pray about that. I earnestly pray about that. The last thing I want to do is stand up here and tell you something that is not correct. And if I ever do, I want somebody to correct me. Because I'm going to tell you this. If he were to get up here and tell you something that was not correct in this book we call the Bible, and I don't think I'd be by myself.
Yeah.
We're going to go to him and we're going to talk with him about it.
Amen.
And I mean, that's just the way it is. This is God's house.
Amen.
Christ is the head of the church.
Amen.
He's a spokesperson just like I'm a spokesperson, just like Brother Dave is a spokesperson for the Almighty.
Amen.
And I do. I'm serious. I take it very seriously. Very seriously. Christ himself is the Lord of the harvest and the head of the church. It is the Lord who determines where and when his people will serve. Look, if you commune with the Lord, if you talk with the Lord on a daily basis, if you pray to the good Lord is, you're not going to hear him say, do this or do that. But he will put it in your heart.
Amen.
Believe me, he will
Amen.
Put it in your heart what he wants you to do. It's up to you. It's up to you to do what the Lord says. I can't do it for you. I don't know what he's telling you. No more than you know what he tells me. I don't have all this stuff written down here. I ask the Lord to please, please take control of my tongue, take control of my mouth, fill me full of the Holy Spirit when I get up here, before I get up here, every morning, every Sunday morning, I ask the Lord to take control of my tongue and please tell me what I need to tell you. Because I can't do this in the flesh. I'm absolutely, positively nothing without him.
Amen.
You are nothing without him. Plain and simple. But it's the good Lord who determines where and when his people will serve. Turn with me to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. It's back to your left where we were at before, except we were in 14. I want you to turn to 16. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Look at verse 6. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. You get that? They were forbidden to preach in Asia by the Holy Ghost. Now, who's the Holy Ghost? The Holy Spirit. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision, listen to this now, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Now, who do you think this man of Macedonia was? I'd be willing to, and I'm not a betting man. I don't gamble. Believe me, I don't. I like my money. I like my money. I had to work hard for my money. But I'd be willing to bet you that this man from Macedonia was none other than the Holy Spirit himself. I'm just saying. I'd be willing. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, that was after Paul had seen this vision, this man of Macedonia, immediately we were endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Remember what I said? It's the Lord who determines where and when his people will serve. Right there, the proof's in the pudding right there. I didn't make that up. God said it. The church at Philadelphia had been given a great opportunity. A great opportunity had been given to the church at Philadelphia for the ministry. But it was up to them what they were going to do with it. Just like it's up to you. I'm trying to get back to Revelation. But there was a question. Well, actually, there are a couple questions. Would they take advantage of it? Would they take advantage of that opportunity to minister? They had at least two obstacles they had to overcome. Now look with me down there in verse 8. In verse 8, chapter 3 in Revelation. The first obstacle they had to overcome was their own lack of strength. For thou hast a little strength. For thou hast a little strength. Look, I've already told you, I can't get up here and do this in the flesh. I don't know enough about the Lord. I don't know enough about that book. I don't trust myself to stand up here and tell you what the Lord says. I can't do it in the flesh. I'm not going to try to do it in the flesh. Believe me, I'm not going to try to do it in the flesh. I need the power of the Holy Spirit on me. I have to put my faith and my trust in the Lord. That's who I depend on. I love my wife to death. But she can't give me the power that I need, the strength that I need to stand up here before you and tell you what the good Lord says. She can't do it. I have to trust in the Lord. I have to put my faith and my trust in the Lord. That's where my power and my strength comes from. And if you're depending on anything other than the Lord, you got problems. He says, for thou hast a little strength. Now this church at Philadelphia, it wasn't a very large church. It wasn't a very strong church. It possibly could have been a Harvest Baptist church. We're not a real large church. I do believe, though, that we're strong in the Lord. But this church at Philadelphia, they were neither large nor very strong. And he tells us, for thou hast little strength. But they were this now. They were faithful. They were faithful. They were loyal. to the Lord. And why do I say that? Look right there. And he says, "For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word." And has kept my word. They were faithful to the Lord. They were true to God's word. They were unafraid to bear the name of the Lord. Look right there in verse 8. And he says, "And hast not denied my name." They weren't afraid to bear the name of the Lord.
Man.
Look. If you can bear the name of the Lord, if you can say, "Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior," if you can walk in the strength of the Lord, if you don't deny the name of the Lord, what do you think God will do for you? What kind of blessings do you think you'll get from that? Look, you can go down here. I like to call it China Mart. I mean, it used to be you could go in there, you couldn't find anything in there but American made. And since them children inherited the thing after Sam died, you can't hardly find anything in there American made. It's all from China or somewhere else. I like to call it China Mart. I mean, that's just the way it is. And Miss Becky's here. She'll tell you. I'm sure any other employee out there, Rhonda, will tell you. You still at the one on Rayford Road? And Miss Becky's right here at the one in Hope Mills. They'll tell you. Hold on, honey, just a minute. Oh, I'm not supposed to breathe. I'm sorry. Excuse me. It's not the size or the strength of the church that determines its ministry. It's the faith in the call and command of the Lord.
Amen.
You get that?
Yeah.
It's not the size or the strength of the church that determines its ministry. It's the faith in the call and the command of the Lord. God's commandments are God's enablements.
Amen.
If God says do it, do it. He's going to enable you to do it.
Yeah, right.
You're going to have to wait your turn, Rob. My wife comes first. I'm sorry. If God's going to bring you to it, guess what? Living proof right here. If He'll bring you to it, He'll bring you through it.
Amen.
If they were given, if the church at Philadelphia was given this open door by Jesus Christ, don't you think He would see to it that they had the power to walk through it?
Yes.
Does the same thing for us, folks. Does the exact same thing for us. Go ahead, honey. What's your question?
I can't help but a scripture come to mind when you're talking about this trust is that.
I'm living proof of that. I had that faith, that little bit of faith. That faith is, you ever seen a mustard seed? Not very big, is it? Not very big at all. But God said that faith is a grain of a mustard seed would move a mountain.
Amen.
A mountain. Not an anthill. A mountain. Faith is a grain of a mustard seed.
So can you just think every one of us had that in this congregation?
It certainly is. Harvest Baptist Church. Harvest Baptist Church. Christ is the head of the church. our shepherd. He watches over the flock. We're his flock. He is God's spokesperson. As God's spokesperson, he brings us God's word. If we're doing something wrong, if we're not following the word of God, it is his duty. Whether you like it or not, whether I like it or not, it's his duty to come to us and say, hey, you're doing so-and-so, you shouldn't be doing it.
Amen.
And you can say, oh, I won't like him getting all up in my business. It's his business to get all up in your business. That's right. If you're doing wrong, if you're out of the will of God, if you're not following the will of God, it's his business to get up in your business whether you like it or not.
That's right.
And that's just hard, cold facts. That's all it is. Hard, cold facts. And if he comes to me and says, you're not doing so and so, if you don't get it right, you're going to have to step down. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm either going to get it right or I'm going to step down. If I'm any kind of man at all, that's what I'm going to do. I'm either going to get it right or I'm going to step down from what I'm doing. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Now look in verse 9. He says, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan. Now here again we see the synagogue of Satan, in which they say are Jews and are not. Now we first saw this in Revelation 2:9. That this was the second obstacle that the church of Philadelphia had to overcome. And this was really the opposition of Satan. Did you get that? This was really the opposition of Satan. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. That's back to your left, a couple books to your left. Ephesians chapter 6. Look in verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, do you think we just might be battling Satan just a little bit? I mean, you don't have to look far. Look at our government. Look at our government. Oh, my goodness. I've never in my life, in my whole years, have I ever seen anything like what our government is today. Never. I mean, it's crazy. It's beyond crazy. It's of the devil as far as I'm concerned. And this brings to mind something that I posted on Facebook. And it was something to the effect, I shared it. It was on my page and I shared it. And basically what I use Facebook for most of the time is to pass on the Word of God. Sometimes I'll get a little political, but I know, never. But, I mean, this was related to the president wanting to put prayer back in schools, to get prayer, I guess, mandated, not prayer, but Bible, the Bible put back in schools. I don't know if it's going to be something you know, that's mandated or government controlled or what have you. But a friend of mine who is a pastor, I think they live in Kentucky now, and he put something on there about if the government got involved in it, that it shouldn't be in the schools. And it really surprised me. And while I will agree that the government doesn't need to be involved in it, other than saying, okay, we can put it back in the schools, I think that should be the extent of their involvement in it. Because if the government gets involved in it, who knows what they're going to add to it or take away from it. You know, and that's the sad part. But I don't think he would deny that it needs to be put back in the schools. I think our children were a lot more responsible and a lot more respectful, to say the least, when the Bible was in the schools. When I was a kid, and I know it's hard for you to believe I was a kid, but when I was a kid, we had Bible teaching in the schools once a week. And I remember her name, Mrs. Albright. And I had this discussion with somebody else regarding this very thing. Mrs. Albright would come into schools once a week to go to the different classes and teach the Bible. She'd read Bible stories.
Amen.
Answer any questions that, you know, that we had. And I remember that. And the kids were more respectful and they were more responsible, and we didn't have all these problems in the schools we have today. Why? Because the Bible was in it.
Amen.
The Christians allowed one person, one stinking person, to take the Bible out of the schools. You know whose fault that was? The Christians. They sat there and did nothing. Did absolutely, positively nothing. It was our fault. It wasn't my fault. I was a kid. I didn't know any better. But we allowed her to do it.
Back then you had...
And you can go out here and do something unimaginable, and you're going to get a little slap on the wrist, and they're going to say, no, don't do that again. Mm-hmm. If you want to commit a crime, I'm here to tell you, and I did this for 32 years in Cumberland County. If you want to commit a crime, right here is the best place to do it. Because you're going to get a plea bargain. You're going to get a plea bargain. You'll probably be back out on the street before I can get done with the paperwork. I'm serious. Kid you not. In 10 years, I handled nothing but felonies for 10 years. And I can count on one hand and have fingers left over the number of times I had to go to court. In 10 years.
Wow.
You want to commit a crime? Commit it here in Cumberland County. They'll plea bargain it. 99.9% of the time. It's not always the case. The cases that I had that I went to court on, 3 of those cases were on the same person. He decided on the third time, after he got convicted on the other 2, I better plea on this one. And they combined all the other 50 cases together. Let's close with prayer.